We're going to look again at the person of Christ. Last week we looked at his submission when he was baptized. It was a baptism under repentance, and he obviously had nothing to repent of, but he was fulfilling that which was put upon him. His temptations that he met with the scriptures, even though the devil at one point misused the scriptures, Jesus used them as his defense. And then in his teachings in the synagogue, and particularly when he opened the scriptures to Isaiah and read from the part, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And that's how Jesus always taught, with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Now tonight, we're going to begin by looking at his prayer. Now, his prayer life, we're not going to be able to, you know, see the whole thing. That would take several messages in itself. But if you'll turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, and I'm going to turn to chapter 6. And it's one of those mountain experiences of Jesus. In Luke chapter 6, and beginning at verse 12. Luke 6 and verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples," and all of that big group that followed him. And remember that, you know, some of them believed, but some of them were just there to hear, to learn, and they were not committed. But out of that larger group of disciples, it says he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. But in verse 12, it says that he went out into a mountain to pray. I have often heard of people with exceptional prayer life that they have a special place that they go to frequently out of doors. It would be their prayer closet, even though it's in the openness of the outdoors. But he went there, and it says to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. One of the things we're going to see at the two more passages we'll look at is the extended periods of prayer. And after each of them, there was something specific that happened. When I read it and prepared, I could not help but wonder to myself how much more might I accomplish if I had that kind of prayer life.
Yes, sir. Yes, that's right.
You know, we read of missionaries. The one is especially familiar, well-known for it. I think John Hyde, known as Praying Hyde. And he would spend so much in time in prayer. Was it he who was called Camel Knees? Or was it another one? Okay. There was a missionary whose knees were so callous that he got the nickname Camel Knees. And so, for certain, it says there, he continued all night in prayer. I've been to a few through the many, many years of my life. I've been to a few all-night prayer times. You know, the first one I went to, I thought, I can't remember when it was, where it was, but I thought to myself, what am I going to pray all night long? What do you say all night long? But, you know, the scriptures talks about prayer and meditation. And so there is the matter of praying in the sense of asking God for things, but then praying in the sense of reading the scriptures and thinking about them, meditating on them. And much time was spent by the Lord in prayer. And then it says, the next day, he picked the 12. He didn't go into that serious matter on ordinary prayer life or ordinary power. He prayed all night. Now, when he was praying, did he pray, "Father, show me who to pick"? There's a sense in which you might think that, but he is God. And so he knew who he needed and how the omniscient God who knows all. Here he was in the body of a man who voluntarily set aside some of that omniscience. He was God, but nevertheless he lived as an ordinary man, sinless, but nevertheless as a man who hungered and thirsted and tired. Somehow there was a balance between it. But the thing is, we would do well to pray more. I'm flash prayers is what I call them. When you just flash a prayer to God for something that comes to mind, some need you think of, and they're good. But they alone are not a prayer life. There needs to be that intimate time with Christ. Look at chapter 5, same book, Luke, chapter 5. I'm going to begin at verse 12. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Now, verse 16. "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and" what? "Prayed." So you see here, after a time of healing, after a time of expending power, and again, that divine part of Christ was not weakened in any sense by expending it. And the human part was not made feeble because he healed somebody. But after he had performed a great deed, then he withdrew himself. It's important that we get alone with God and withdraw ourselves. Whether you go into a different room where you're alone in your house, and you say, "Well, we have a lot of children. It's hard to find one of them places." We understand that. We had 4 children at one time that were home at the same time, okay? So we understand how that can be. But it won't always be that way, and you do what you can. You just do what you can. And men, we could help our wives' spiritual life if we were to take the kids, and I'm safe saying this because mine are all grown. But I'm thinking to myself, what assistance I could have been to my wife if I had said, "Look, I'll take the kids and we'll go down to the park. We'll go get an ice cream cone. We'll do something so you can have some time alone with God." That thought never crossed my mind. I mean, it came to me here while I'm talking. But wouldn't that be... You mothers with children at home, I know you'd appreciate that. Now, if he does that, that's not the time to clean. That's not the time to bake a cake. Or take a nap. Okay? I think I got it covered. But seriously, think of that. What what a husband could do, what a father could do for his wife, for the mother of his children, spiritually.
Amen.
If it would make some alone time for her with God. You know, I don't like to sound too super saintish, but that one has to be from God. It's not in my notes. It never crossed my mind ever before. And she'll verify that. I've never done it. But the blessing that would have been to her. Not just the time with God. The fact that her husband cared enough for her that he would do that for her. My lands, man. She might just rise up and call it blessing. I think there's something about that in Scripture.
That's right.
About her rising up and calling him blessed. Maybe it's because he did those kind of sacrificial things for her. Now in chapter 5 and verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it's hard to do that. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were others with him. And they went a little further and they prayed and fell asleep. Now, that should keep us from beating on ourselves if we would fall asleep.
Right.
In other words, it happens. But Jesus did want them to stay awake. And so we need to work on that part of it. But in the wilderness, he prayed. Now, look what's next. And it came to pass on a certain day, in other words, after he had this wilderness and prayer time, he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know, that made me wonder, is it not always present? God notes that it was present then. Okay. It gives me the idea that, you know, you couldn't necessarily schedule it. We've passed a church already where they have a sign out front, healing services, Monday night, 7 o'clock. And Pat wondered, won't he heal any other time? You know, somehow I get the idea that maybe, and we know that it's not always his will to heal, but here it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him, and they couldn't get in. The house was so full, and people wouldn't, you know, they had their own needs, they wanted them met. And so verse 19 says, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop. You remember this story. They opened up the tiling, they took the roofing back, and it obviously wasn't screwed and nailed down. And when he saw their faith as they lowered this man down, okay, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, he came for healing, and he got the forgiveness of sins. And he got the healing with it. But do you know what's when it happened? After he had that time of prayer.
That's right.
After that time of prayer. One more, and then we're going to go to prayer ourselves. One more. It's in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14. This is the setting of this is the story of when Jesus walked on the water. In Matthew chapter 14, we want to look at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He dismissed the people. Did he answer some more questions? Did he interact with them some? All it does is says that he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, what did he do? Lay down, take a nap? He went up into a mountain apart to pray.
Amen.
And when the evening was come, he was there alone. There he was, alone, praying in a place of solitude. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. That's when Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me walk. And we, you know, we always put him down because he began to sink. But I like to think of the fact that he had a lot of faith to step out and start walking. And there's a lot of good sermons been preached on that experience. But nevertheless, when did this walking on the water come? After he spent the time in prayer. He also may have needed to spend time in prayer because he had been busy teaching the people, multitudes, interacting with them. Now, Brother Dale had a very busy Sunday. He taught Sunday school at Hornell. That's different than teaching in your home church. Okay? Then he preached a morning service. And that's different than preaching in your home church. Okay? And then he came back and preached here at 1 o'clock. So some of that stress was off, but by then he was getting tired. And then when that was over, went home and crashed. Huh? And so a busy day. But Jesus, you see, he went and prayed. Now I confess to you, I cannot remember a time when I've had an extra busy or full time that when it was all over, I went aside alone and prayed for an extended period. I know I've prayed and thanked the Lord for His help, His grace, His enabling in the service of those busy times, but I cannot remember a time when it was all over, an extra busy day, and Pastor Asquith knows that. Any pastor knows there are days that are just extra full, extra busy. Some of it's busy with things to do, and other times it's burdens that are you bear, and just so many different things. But I don't remember a time when I got home, I said to Pat, well, I'm going to go into the back room and spend some time in prayer. Now that's to my shame. Been hearing the word for centuries, millennium. I must have read it many times. But again, I say, as I said earlier, it's something, and I don't try to get too super saintish, but I'm thinking it must be something that the Lord's given. Because I didn't come up with that self-condemnation, that self-judging. I'm going to make myself look good. I'm going to make myself feel good. But when Jesus was tired, he went and prayed.
Oh, amen, brother. Yes, sir.
Wow. Father in heaven, if you teach us, we can learn. If your Spirit is with us, we can apply the truth to our lives. God, help us not merely to hear, but to be doers of the Word. You tell us we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Father, enable that in us. We cannot do it ourselves. But by your grace, we can. And it's for that which we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.